Yeah, but he wasn't a, he's like Mark Ruffalo. Mark Ruffalo still hasn't found that gig that would make him a, like a big star, TV star, or movie star. Now, one of the things I'd like for us to do when we think of it, and I hope we will. Well, first of all, folks, if you want to jump in here and suggest something to watch, maybe that we forgot about, something that's new and kind of obscure, let me give you the numbers, and as we go along here, feel free to go, hey, this is a great movie, or this is a great TV show, or whatever. 314-821-0590, or 855-282-8255. My wife and I rewatched within the last 48 hours. Crap, I can't remember when we watched it, the last night or night before. Night before last. Bernie with Jack Black. Folks, this is an on-demand. You don't pay to watch this movie. That was a pleasant surprise. I forgot how entertaining it was. What's interesting, though, it's an entertaining, almost lighthearted movie about a true murderer.
Yeah.
This actual guy who killed this woman.
Now,
but Jack Black, I've not seen much that he's done that I don't like. And I forgot how that guy can sing. You talk about classical training. Jack Black is a dancer and a singer. Go, well, he's a fat guy. How can he dance? He can dance. And
Tenacious
he can sing.
D, yeah, yeah. He's really good, and he's versatile. He can do a lot of different things, a little drama, a little comedy. School Rock is always a fun watch.
Did he do the polka one too?
Yes, he did.
Yes.
The one on Netflix.
Yes.
Yeah.
The
polka.
That was really
funny.
What was it called? Polka?
I don't
polka
remember.
King?
Polka. Oh, you're right. That's it. And that was also a true story, correct?
Oh, my goodness, Bill. Thank you. Folks, if you haven't seen The Polka King, another true story, that thing is beyond entertaining. That's a great movie.
And he was hilarious, I think, in Ben Stiller's Tropic Thunder, playing that coked-up comedy star. They tie him to a tree. And he's promising sexual favors to a soldier. He's like, you untie me from this tree and give me some of that cocaine, and I'll do whatever you want. It's just so funny.
See, I think like John Goodman. Here's Jack Black. These are two guys who at some point looked in the mirror and probably said, I'm never going to be a movie star. but yet they were, because there's always a role for that guy who's just sort of the everyman's man. He's overweight. He's not particularly great looking, but he's not, you know, repulsive.
Is he in Saving Silverman?
Yes.
Yes.
I love that movie, too.
He gets thrown out of a car by Lee Ermey. He gets tossed out of that van.
What is that about? I didn't see that.
Isn't it about where the friends kidnap the guy's girlfriend?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then they're trying to get him to break up with his girlfriend, who's just this horrible woman.
Yeah.
Is it Amanda Peet? Is she the woman, or
I think
no? She's very hot, and she looks just like Amanda Peet. I think it's her.
I think he said Amanda Peet.
What?
Searching, too.
The whole nine yards. That's all I'm going to say, gentlemen.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. It is. It's Amanda Peet.
It is, yeah. And doesn't she, like, beat him up? She beats up Jack Black. And,
oh, yeah.
And then they get the guy from Full Metal Jacket to help him out, and then he gets tossed out of the van by Amanda Peet. That's good stuff.
That's a good one, Frank. You would like that, I think. Saving Silverman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll give that a look. Hey, what's the... and I know this name, and it just escaped me. Spanglish with Adam Sandler, that hot Latino.
Penelope Cruz?
Paz Vega?
No.
Oh.
Paz Vega.
Paz Vega, yeah. She was only in a couple things, and then she kind of just disappeared.
No, I think she's a big star over in Spain.
Oh, okay.
She works a lot over there, but man, oh man. You know, there are certain women, these Hispanic, Latina, the Penelope Cruzes, the Selma Hayeks, the Paz Vega.
Selma Hayek does not age either. No. She just looks the same way. What is she? Isn't she? I don't look up
Let's not forget Sofia Vergara. Let's not forget her.
Oh, yeah.
Except
for that voice, though. Classics. That voice can kind of wear me down a little bit. I'll take Selma Hayek over Sophia.
They should have put Paz Vega's head on one of those little Pez dispensers, and it's Paz Pez.
Hilarious.
Fantastic.
I hate all of you guys.
It's all about
when you have to say hilarious, that says it all, right?
That's it. It is.
Shouldn't have to say
it's
it.
A vocal review instead of a laugh. Sorry, Dan. Still love you. Stay in that
room. What did you come prepared to?
Well, I watched a movie last week, and when I went into the theater, I wasn't feeling too optimistic about it because it's a remake of a great French film. The new remake is called The Upside. It's got Bryan Cranston and Kevin Hart, who I'm not really fond of. And the 2012 French film was great. It's called The Untouchables. It's about a quadriplegic, a very rich guy who needs an assistant, a caregiver. And instead of hiring somebody out of college, he hires somebody from the streets. He hires somebody with a criminal record. And it was just kind of a fun little drama, comedy, and some good actors in it. And of course, what does Hollywood do? Well, hey, we need to remake that 6-7 years later. So they did it with Bryan Cranston playing the quadriplegic and Kevin Hart playing the ex-con who becomes his caregiver. And I got to say, going into it, not wanting to like it, I left and I enjoyed it. They did.
What's it called?
The new film is called The Upside. It came out on Friday.
It's a stupid name. I didn't even tell you what it's about.
Yeah,
why is it called that?
I mean, I always thought The Untouchables was kind of great in 2012 because it described the relationship. You have two guys from different sides, different worlds, but I don't know what The Upside, really what they got that from. I think they were trying to make it their own. And
maybe it's just friendship, or the fact that he's like
or the upside,
super rich.
Yeah, that he
or
was,
maybe the upside of for Kevin Hart's character is that he gets to care for an old rich guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Jeez. But it's fun. Yeah, I mean, it's the kind of movie. Well, and that was the first thing about it. I was like, okay, this is makes me think of nothing about the first film. But what they do is they kind of mix the plot up a little bit. You know, when you get a remake, it shouldn't just be a beat-for-beat cover. It should be like they should make something new about it. And they do that. And, of course, it's a reason to watch Bryan Cranston for 2 hours, which I think is just one of the best. I mean, he plays this guy. And I think the original actor, who's a French actor, really big in France, but not really hasn't done any stuff in America. So you get Bryan Cranston to do it, and I think it's going to be good no matter what.
Who's the French actor? Because I know my French actors. Is it Claude Van Janzès?
It's François Vullat.
Okay, François Vullat.
Yes, oh, yeah, he is. You know, yeah, he's great.
I like the trailer.
He's great.
When they're walking in that garage and Kevin
Four
Hart
French
says,
Oscars.
Says, "Which one's your car?" And he goes, "All of
them."
Yeah,
and
there's
a lot of parts in this movie. Let me just tell you guys what was great about this movie is that Kevin Hart didn't annoy me, and I got to sit through a 2-hour movie with Kevin Hart and didn't think, okay, this is just getting. Because for me, I don't know about you guys, but he's like the male version of Melissa McCarthy. He wears me out.
You know? No, you're right. That's a great example because Melissa McCarthy, I get tired of her.
They have one. I mean, Kevin Hart just kind of has that manic kind of energy comedy that just gets so tiring after 30 minutes. But here, the director says, "Hey, man, can you just act a little bit? We're going to give you a little bit of drama." Because in this one, they shake it up. He's an ex-con who has a family, and he's trying to provide for his kid. And so Kevin Hart can't just go, "Amy, for a full 2 hours." He has to do some acting.
Whoa.
Wow. That's a good Kevin Hart.
Just like that was either Kevin Hart or Jay Leno.
But he manages to be kind of appealing in this movie. And, of course, Bryan Cranston again. And it's got Nicole Kidman, who keeps making good movies. She plays...
Who's the Jackie Chan partner? Who's the guy in the Jackie Chan
Chris
movies?
Tucker.
He's another one that wears you out.
Yeah,
it's become irritating.
You know, the one movie that he was good in was Silver Linings Playbook. He played Bradley Cooper's friend, but that's because he came and then he went. And then he came back, he had like three scenes, and then he left. But in this movie, Kevin Hart, for the first time, I didn't say, okay, I've had enough. We need to get a different actor in here.
I'm going to tell you a movie just like that for me where you said you didn't think you'd like it because of the plot. It was Bucket List. I thought this was ridiculous. Oh, yeah. There's a rich guy owns a hospital, and there's a black guy, and they're both going to die. And it turns out it was a really good movie.
One of the best lines, and maybe I have this line wrong, is where Jack Nicholson's character goes, "You know, when you get old, you shouldn't pass a bathroom. You can't trust a fart." And then there was a third thing he told Morgan Freeman.
I had Jack say that line to me just this morning. This is unbelievable.
This morning?
I had him
on
by satellite just this morning. And what was the line again, Dan?
He said, "You know, when you get to be my age, you can't pass a bathroom, and you can never trust a fart."
That's it. That's what he said to me. Well, here, let me find it real quick. Hang on, it's in my hard drive here. Hold on. Okay, here it is. Jack Nicholson from just this morning.
"You know, when you get to be my age, you never pass a bathroom, and you can never trust a fart."
the great Jack Endo, a close friend of mine, personal friend. And I have him on the satellite anytime I want.
Yeah, to have Jeff Nicholson on call like that, I don't think any director has that.
No, always available to me.
Hell no, they don't, because I'm AM in the freaking PM.
Oh, man. Yeah,
turn his mic off.
He's going to go on and on. I think next week we should have Jack and Walken do a whole conversation together. Where they discuss the candy section in a movie theater.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
I also asked Morgan Freeman this morning. And I said,
you did?
I said, how did you like doing the bucket list? I know this is old news, but as long as we mention the movie, it's funny that I also mentioned that to him when I talked to him for 2 hours this morning. And I said, what was the toughest part about it? And here's what he said. Well, trying to act sick. He had a cold this morning.
Morgan Freeman. Even when he has a cold, though, he sounds pretty good.
He had a really, really bad cold.
Really bad cold, yeah. Couldn't even recognize him. I have wanted to do Morgan Freeman. I think it's a guttural thing that most people just can't pull.
No,
you got to do the Andy Dufresne thing. Andy Dufresne.
Hope's a dangerous thing or something like that.
Dangerous thing.
There you go.
he does those documentaries, and there's a little animal that lives in. I wish I could do it. It's hard, man.
It's one of those voices I don't think anybody could even really try to mimic, and we have to get Morgan on the line.
There's a guy on YouTube who is dead on a Morgan Freeman.
Really?
I don't know if you've seen. Goodness. You close your eyes. You cannot tell the difference. All right, what else? What else is out there?
Yeah, so The Upside, go see it, but I would also suggest watch the original as well.
Why is Dan talking?
Dan.
Why is Dan?
Turn your mic off, dude.
Dan.
Oh, sorry.
How long have you been in this business?
He had Morgan Freeman on the line.
I turned the wrong pod down.
You giblet head.
Who are you talking to? You're not even supposed to be talking. We're on the air.
No, there was somebody that was calling. I thought they were calling, but he said the line is never waste morning wood, never pass up a bathroom, and never trust a fart. That was the line.
Oh, there you go. I knew I was missing a third thing. There was a third Jack line.
That was sure worth it. go ahead, Dan.
Watch The Upside, but I would also say, more importantly, watch the original. It's still better. But if you want to watch...
How many ARDs for The Upside?
I'm going to go with a solid 3. I don't think I can give it more than that. 3 ARDs.
Here they come.
All right, Dan.
Give us something else to watch.
Well, I will say, since we've already talked about Ray Donovan, you should be watching Unbreakable this week, because M. Night Shyamalan's Glass comes out. And this is the third film in a trilogy, followed by Split with James McAvoy. And
I don't even know what this is, Unbreakable.
See, and this is the great thing. Came out in 2000. It's got Bruce Willis and Samuel L. Jackson. And this is what I like to call... M. Night got to this before. He got to the real-life comic book kind of our superhero before Marvel did, before Christopher Nolan did. The story follows Bruce Willis. He's a security guard at a Philadelphia college, and he finds and he was the sole survivor of this train wreck, and he was the only person. He survived unscathed, and that's how the film starts. And it finds
there's a very famous guy whose voice you've never heard anybody do, Bruce Willis.
No, you can't.
Because there's nothing distinctive about there is about his expression, face,
his
mannerisms, but not his voice. Unlike Christopher Walken, they go, "Hey, do Bruce Willis." Well, I can't even hear him in my head right now.
Hey, Frank, did you see CBS Sunday Morning this past Sunday?
A little bit of it.
Because they had him on there. Talking about this movie and the trilogy and everything.
It's good because it came out before, again, all the Marvel movies, before Christopher Nolan did Batman. This was a movie about a guy who finds out as an adult, that he has superpowers. He is unbreakable, literally. That's the title of the movie. And, of course, in his little world, he finds out that Samuel L. Jackson's character is this guy who is the opposite. He has had more bone breaks than anybody in the world, and they kind of have this little face-off, and it's a It's a great thriller that I think that it could really stand up as M. Night's best movie. I know people think The Sixth
Sense. I'd like to take
a
run if I could at doing Bruce Willis. Since
all right, take a run.
So,
go.
This will be Bruce Willis in a screenplay that I didn't finish because I was mad because they stole part of the idea from me. But this is a scene. This is a scene where he's about to blow away a woman. Believe it or not, she's a female truck driver, and she is the mother of 10 children. You say, "Ooh, that sounds horrible."
Whoa.
But she's a bad, bad woman. She's had 10 kids, and she's a over-the-road truck driver. And here's what he says to her. Yippee-ki-yay, mother trucker.
Mm. Kind of sound like Nick Nolte.
Nick Nolte?
No, man.
Now, there's another voice. Give me Nick Nolte's voice. Nobody's ever done his voice either.
Just to do a rasp and do it like times 100, and that's basically Nick Nolte, the most raspiest voice of any actor.
Another guy who was super good looking like Robert Redford and kind of went bad as he got old.
He drank some fugly sauce.
Boy, I'll say.
But Unbreakable, if you watch, this is the third film coming out this week. It's about basically about people who live in the real world and they have superpowers. And the second film was called Split, and this guy had 24 different personalities. James McAvoy, who I think it's one of his best performances, he kidnaps these girls, and throughout the movie, he basically impersonates different women, or different voices. Like, he's a hoodlum, he's a maid, 24 different personalities. So in the third film, M. Night throws them all together, so they're all kind of squaring off. But, I mean, it's a movie that Unbreakable. If you watch it, again, it's 19 years ago, but I still think it stands up as one of M. Night's best movies. But Glass comes out Friday. It's the completion of this trilogy. If you like superhero tales, but you don't like all the tights and all the superpowers, you want some more grounded hero, you should watch Unbreakable. But I also think it's one of Bruce Willis's best roles. I mean, it came out a while ago. It's, you know, people will say that Sixth Sense is M. Night's best movie. I think Unbreakable is. I think it's a great flick. But I'm excited. I'm watching that tonight. That comes out Friday. But I also got... There's something coming out, guys, on TV that I'm really excited about. And this has been coming together for a while.
You didn't give ARDs for Unbreakable.
Well, for Unbreakable, I give that a 4.
Okay.
Back in 2000, that's one of the best, man. It's so good.
The new one. Oh, Glass. You see that tonight.
Tonight, yeah. I'll review that next week.
Okay, 4 ARDs.
All right, Dan. All right, Dan. All right, Dan. All right, Dan.
Before you go to your next thing, one of the things that I rediscovered when my grandson was over, you're always kind of looking for something for kids to do. You only want them doing so much video game time and staring at an iPad or a phone. So I introduced him to two things. One was the Three Stooges. That kid, five and a half, he laughed so the Three Stooges were hilarious. And the other thing, and I don't know where this came from, except he does know the superheroes, and he likes the modern superhero stuff. He went to see, it's not really a superhero, it's that Transformer thing, the Bumblebee deal.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
I thought, I wonder how he'd react to the original 60s Batman and Robin with Adam West and Burt Ward. He loved it. Oh my goodness! And I actually started watching it with him, and I thought, I cannot believe this was a prime time TV show.
It was so hokey and corny.
It is ridiculous, and that's what's funny about it. It's so bad. It's so bad. It's good. That's the best way to describe it. So when you start thinking about nostalgic things and want to go back in time, go find, and you find it anywhere. This was Roku, Batman, the original Batman and Robin. So
a scene where they were climbing up the side of the building? As they climb up the side of a building, remember there was always there was always some sort of cameo from like Milton Berle or somebody. Somebody famous would.
Yeah, and even the climbing up the building was so ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
You could tell they were pretending to climb. I mean, it's just everything about it's bad. What's next?
Well, there's something been in the works. I mean, of course, this week, Sopranos is doing a marathon on HBO. One of the best series that ever come out. I know it hit an anniversary this past weekend, and it's been doing about an episode every Sunday, but they are putting in the works a prequel to Sopranos, a world that takes place before when Tony Soprano was a young kid. And I like this because, for three reasons. Number one, John Bernthal is going to be in it. He's going to have a prominent role.
Which one was he?
Remember, yeah, he's currently in The Punisher. He is like one of those guys. Gosh, you probably have to look him up.
He was in The Walking Dead as well.
The Walking Dead.
But who was he in The Sopranos?
Well, no, he's in the prequel. So he is somebody from his neighbor when he was a kid. And Vera Farmiga is in it, too. So you got Bernthal and Vera. They're both in it. But the biggest reason I like it is that David Chase is doing it. They're not going to let anybody else do it. David Chase and Alan Taylor, who directed all The Sopranos, you have to get the original gang back together if you're going to mess with something like that. It's like when they did Breaking Bad, or Better Call Saul, they got the Breaking Bad guys back to do it.
Right.
And I think that's very important. So that's coming together, and I really hope they knock it out, because I was watching Sopranos with my dad, and I was supposed to watch a one. We watched four. And, I mean, that's just how good that show is. I mean, we fell down a Sopranos rabbit hole on Sunday night. But I think
I've forgotten them enough that I could watch it again and enjoy it, because I don't have a great memory for that stuff. I'd like it again.
Yeah, I mean, and my dad kind of, he grew up over there off of Bancroft and Macklin, and he had a lot of people kind of that talk like that. I mean, he grew up, spent a lot of time on the Hill, so he said a lot of the people in that show just kind of reminded him of his childhood, because the way those guys talked. And the humor.
I used to work for a guy who called those people Dims and Does guys.
Dims
and
Does.
He'd say, he's one of those Dims and Does guys. That's a perfect description. Because,
it is.
You know, so I said, them guys come over, and I said, hey, what those things you got going in? And they did talk like that, Dims and Does guys. Since you're talking about the Sopranos, are you at all familiar with Bad Blood, I think it's called, on Netflix?
I've seen it.
The Canadian mob or something.
Isn't that the guy that has the guy from Sons of Anarchy, Kim Coates?
Yes. Yes.
Isn't he? I saw the trailer on Netflix. I have not watched it yet. But
we watched a little so far, and so far I think I'm really going to like it. But one of the things that I liked was when I saw that Paul Sorvino is in it.
Whoa.
If ever a guy, when he just shows up on the screen, looks like he belongs in a mob movie, it's Paul Sorvino. And in a different way, not a rough, sort of guy, but that, that peacemaker kind of guy, he'll still whack if he has to.
1,000-mile stare he has, man.
Yes.
Remember when Ray Liotta comes to him for money in Goodfellas? And he looks at Ray Liotta like he just lost a son. He's like, I got to turn my back on you now, Walter.
Ray Liotta, terrible. I only know from the Chantix commercials. Have you seen this?
You know, Frank, if you have a chance, go online. I don't know who did it.
I've seen it.
They mocked it.
Yes.
The best part of that is where he does the laugh. That's the best part.
Ray Liotta, to me, has to, like Nick Cage, has to, in real life, be insane. He has to be crazy. He does.
He's
probably mad because of the acne scars. He's been mad about that since he was a teenager, because he's got some bad news complexion. But he is a great, and Nicolas Cage, too. They're so good at being crazy,
they
have to really be crazy.
Yeah, and it's just the best word where he goes, Chantix. He goes, well, quit cigarettes. Who want to do that? Why would I want to do that? It's the best thing. There had to be a real-life situation where when Ray was doing that commercial, there was an outtake where he just cursed the whole time.
And you get the feeling, too, that what's missing from the Chantix commercial that they didn't put in, and it would be natural, was toward the end if he'd said something like, Chantix, if it hadn't worked for me, I'd have had to kill the whole effing bunch of them. I would have whacked them all if this hadn't stopped me from smoking. He's just crazy.
It's so funny because he's on the film set and he's in the car reading the script, and it's like, you know, he's got his cigarette down by his like ankle. He's like, can I smoke this yet? Are we done?
He's smoking right now. He's still smoking.
He's like, wait a minute, I can't smoke when we do the Chantix commercial. It's so funny. And the guy, I guess he messed up with the image to kind of look like Ray Liotta. It was hilarious. But, yes, that is what he's known as right now, and not as, you know, Henry Hill from Goodfellas. But
somebody.
And when you do get a chance to see a Bad Blood on Netflix, I want to know what you think.
It looks good. And that guy from Sons of Anarchy, he's in so many things, and he's always good.
What a face. What a great face.
Just called and said that Ray Liotta sometimes, a few times during that commercial, looks like he's wearing a Mike Myers mask.
he does kind of have a...
Yeah.
Can you imagine if you wake up in the middle of the night and Ray's right in front of you? Mm. Ah, He might just fall out of your bed.
Eat my Chantix.
Yeah. Hey, that's not bad.
That was pretty
that's
good.
Okay, there's a little bit of Jack Nicholson in
there. I know, there is.
Towards the end, he had a little bit of Jack. Maybe we'll do like a Leota Nicholson walk-in conversation.
Yeah, you know, we need a Leota Nicholson Christian Slater.
Christian Slater.
They all sound kind of the same.
Oh, my gosh. Christian Slater. Okay,
if you close your eyes, you would not know Christian Slater from Jack Nicholson.
No, you wouldn't.
You know what we should do sometime? This would be fun, too. I don't know if any of us could do it off the top of our heads. Maybe Dan could. Maybe Dan Buffo, you could. But that is just pick somebody who's been in a lot of movies and just say, let's just go through. Because we forget, you know, and you think, oh, I want to watch that again. Or I never did see it. And Ray Liotta would be one. I don't mean a De Niro. My goodness, there's like 100 movies you could do. But somebody that, like Paul Sorvino. Or Ray Liotta even, and just run through the movies they've done that we think people would enjoy.
Or even, like, imagine what Liam Neeson did even before he was an action star. He has to have a good little roster or resume.
Yeah, Liam Neeson, to me, though, he's the same kind of the same guy in everything.
Did you see the trailer?
You could say that about Ray Liotta.
The one where he's in the Arctic cold and he's, like, going after it. It's basically Liam Neeson in
Taken.
Snow.
Taken.
Oh, no, everything is Taken with
it.
Yeah, it's called Cold Pursuit. It comes out on the 25th.
It's like he did Schindler's List and like one or two other things, and then Gangs of New York, and then all of a sudden everything is he's going to go out and get somebody who took his daughter or his
I will say the first one was on the other night, and that first Taken is still so good. Mm. You know, when he picks up that phone and he goes, look, I don't know who you are. If you're looking for money, I don't have that. And he just goes into that whole thing, and it turns out, like, the girl that played his daughter, Maggie Grace, they became friends in real life, and when she was dating somebody, Liam Neeson did that to one of her boyfriends. And
beautiful. And
freaked him out.
Nice.
And then she says, that is Liam Neeson. And then the guy was like, and then he liked it. He's like, oh, that was Liam Neeson. He threatened me. It's just, but can you imagine he calls you and goes, you know, Frank, you know, I've been listening to your radio show for a long time, and you may have sponsors, but I have a unique set of skills. You know, what would you do if he called you like that? Would you be ready to go, or would you just go?
Dan, I feel like you just did. That was such a great idea. Liam Neeson. Not.
I know. I can only do walking. I mean, walking's my specialty. But we are going to bring Chris back in next week. I promise. He's going to come in for a whole spiel about M&M's.
You call him Chris.
Oh. Well, yeah, we're buddies.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to tell you something, folks. If those of you out there listening, more than half of the stuff that I've discovered that I have enjoyed on HBO or Showtime or Netflix or Amazon or just network television has come from you all, from emails from you. I'm not kidding. I get emails from people. Frank, I think I know your taste and I think you'd like this. And I'm not kidding. Most of the time, they're right. So yeah, I appreciate that and. Ozark was one. That was a listener recommendation.
Yeah, it's a good one.
The meth making movie. What the heck?
Breaking Bad?
Breaking Bad. That was more than one listener said, oh my goodness, once you get into this, you'd like it. So right now, if you have something for all of us you'd like to share, once again, here are the numbers, 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. I think most people... certainly some people watch TV more than others, or some people only go to the movies a couple of times a year, if that, and other people are in there every couple of weeks. But I do think that's one thing, that when you hit on something good, some people may not watch it right away, some people may not watch it for a year, but that's one sort of thing we all have in common, is we like a good movie or we like a good TV show.
Yeah, and there's one, and I know it's available, and I was just thinking about it the other night, you know, a few years ago, Cinemax kind of got into the original series game. They're a sister company of HBO, and, you know, 10 years ago, all you thought what Cinemax was basically softcore porn and reruns. But then they got
Which
into,
it was after 10
It
o'clock.
Was. And But then they got
I
into...
I mean,
and,
that's what I heard.
And their best show. And so you heard, sources say. But one of the best shows that I've seen, probably in the even almost as good as Sopranos or The Wire or whatever, it's called Banshee, and there's 4 seasons of it. It's got a bunch of no names, the actors you probably wouldn't know,
But I've had listeners suggest this.
Yeah, and it's about a guy who gets out of jail and through a series of events becomes the sheriff of a small town called Banshee, and it's a fictional town in Pennsylvania. And he gets into trouble with the Amish mob. He rekindles the romance with an old a woman that he went to jail for. And it's just, he's impersonating a sheriff, and he's running into all these problems, and he gets into fights, and there's a lot of sex and guns and violence.
Is it a comedy?
No, it's an action thriller, if I had to give it a name. But it's a show that starts out as an enjoyable show, but then it gets a little bit of depth to the story, because you find out why he went to jail and who he really was, and you never know his name, because he's basically impersonating this sheriff called Lucas Hood. And he goes back to this town to find this woman it's the love of his life, but she's remarried. And it's got a lot of actors. You might notice their faces, but you won't know their name. And I think that helps.
Where do you watch this? Banshee.
It's all done with. It was on Cinemax. But I want to say the first episode, if you just want to do a quick little thing, it's on YouTube. You can watch the first episode on YouTube. And I know that I think they're on iTunes. They're for sale on Blu-ray and DVD. I'm not sure if it's on Amazon or Netflix yet. But
we got a couple people.
But watch Banshee. It's great.
Okay. You're not the first person that said that to me either. Brent, welcome to 590 The Fan. What do you got?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So you guys always talk about good shows to watch, and I don't know if you've ever talked about it or not. It's been over for a while, but there's a show called Black Sails that I absolutely loved. It was on Stars, and
I've heard of it. I have heard of it.
It's a pirate movie, but it's not for kids. It is not for kids. It's a prequel to Treasure Island. They take fictional pirates and real pirates and mix them all together. Historical actual pirates. It's absolutely beautiful to watch. It's a lot of fun, and it's a lot of action, and it's a great pirate movie.
And Stars is a premium channel, I guess.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
it's not a basic.
Yeah, I watched it. My wife was watching all the seasons, and it kind of looked to me kind of like a Game of Thrones at sea, because it's very intense, a lot of good action, it's pretty brutal, brutally violent, but it's entertaining. I mean, my wife was watching all the seasons, and I watched it a little bit, but it looked kind of entertaining at the very least, and like they were really going for it.
Yeah, they took it really seriously, and that was the cool thing about it.
Unlike Pirates of the Caribbean, which I never did get that thing. I tried to watch it, and I don't get it. A Johnny Depp acting like a drunken gay member of the Rolling Stones.
Jack Sparrow.
Black Sails sounds better to me. Thank you, Brent. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Yeah, Black Sails makes a lot more sense than that. Brian is next. Brian, welcome to 590 The Fan. What do you have?
Oh, thanks. I'm tuning in a little late, but did you like Project Blue Book? Or have you tried to watch that yet?
I have not watched it yet.
I've watched two episodes, and I'm. It's interesting enough to me to give it a third one. What I didn't like was I didn't realize it was all reenactment stuff. I thought it would be more of a serial documentary, but it's all reenactment. It's here's what happened based on, documents. So, yeah, I'm still in. I'm two in. I'll do two more, and if it'll hold me, I'll run it all the way through. I just didn't. I was hoping it would be a hard documentary, but it's interesting. It's really interesting.
So it's actually like it's got a cast, it's actually I thought it was a documentary too. So they
it's all based on real facts, government documents that were classified that have been unsealed. So even though they're portraying these other people, it's still pretty fascinating, and to know that this stuff, quote, happened. What happened? What didn't happen? I like it so far.
Another
quick thing is.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
So Steven Spielberg years ago he did something for sci-fi called Taken. It's TAKEN, and basically they told Project Blue Book through actors, and Dakota Fanning was in it. That it was like 10 years ago, but that's actually really good, and it sounds like this is doing the same thing then, I guess.
I think deep down I want to find out that this whole Roswell Area 51 thing is real.
It's
I'm
real.
Not kidding. I'm not kidding. But I don't think it is. I'd love to find out once and for all, oh my goodness, they do have alien bodies that they've been having. But I don't think so. I think it would take way too many people to keep this stuff quiet for this long. But it's still interesting to me. Brian, yeah. Thank you for the call. Was there anything
thank
else?
You. No, that's all.
Right,
all.
Thank you. Thanks for listening. Bruce, it's all B's. Brent, Brian, Bruce. Bruce, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Hey, fine, Frank. And, of course, I'm AM and PM.
Of course you are.
And in the last year or so, I guess, my wife and I have become huge fans of James Spader. And, you know, I'd heard his name, but I didn't really know what he did or what he was in until we discovered The Blacklist on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And there's
right.
about 5 or 6 seasons on there. I don't know if you're familiar right. with that or not.
No, my wife watches it and has watched it since the beginning. I don't.
Yeah.
I tried.
Bruce, I tried and I couldn't stay with it. It's just too many moving parts for me.
Bruce, I'm right there with you. Great TV show.
Now, I want to tell you one other thing I've discovered he was in is Boston Legal. And I never watched it when it came out.
Oh, that's an oldie. 2009.
Hey, with William Shatner.
I'll give you something, James. I'll give you something Spader was in.
Great. What's that?
Bruce, I'll give you something Spader was in that was shot in St. Louis, a lot of it, and written by a St. Louis author, White Palace, with Susan Sarandon. That has James Spader in it.
And you can still go down to the diner, too. You can go down to White Knight and go to the actual diner that they filmed in.
Well, I'll have to look that one up. Yeah, but he is great in the Boston Legal. I didn't even know it was a comedic thing until I started watching it. Now I'm watching it every night.
I don't think there's any doubt the best thing he's ever done and his greatest acting chops are this Blacklist thing. I mean, he's perfect.
Oh, yeah.
I saw enough of it to know he's really good. I don't like things where there are just too many plots going and too many characters, too much
plot
to keep
threads.
Up with.
Yeah. A lot of
I have a
plot.
Simple mind. I can't keep up with all that.
Well, check out Boston Legal if you haven't watched it, because Spader and, what's his name?
Dylan McDermott?
William Shatner?
No, the William Shatner, yeah. They are
grouped
together. And I was watching one the other night, and James Spader plays a role of John, I can't remember either, but he had such a great presentation in front of a jury. It just blew me away. I mean, the guy that wrote that script for that thing was great. And so, and he and Shatner, you know, they drop in things every once in a while. Last night, Spader was talking about something. He was reading some, like some kind of bug that infected the rice or something. And he said, then they call them Klingons. And Shatner looked over at him like, Klingons, huh? It's really interesting.
Star Trek.
Great inside joke. Thank you, Bruce.
Yeah. All right. Let's go. Thanks. Bye.
Hey, now there's a name. Here's a guy who is always appearing on somebody's show or a talk show or a date. And then all of a sudden, William Shatner, gone. Is he sick? Is he dead? What the heck?
I think he just doesn't like to commit to stuff. I think he likes to kind of drop in, do a little bit, then get out. I don't think he likes to make a big commitment.
I think he's got all that Priceline negotiator
money
now.
Money with it.
So he's just
chilling. What a lot of people don't realize, too, is if you ever get a chance, don't watch William Shatner. Just listen to his voice.
Oh, yeah.
That guy has an incredible voice.
Oh, yeah.
And when he reads anything, it's mesmerizing. He's so good.
If I have a voicemail for a phone, let Shatner do it.
You go on YouTube, I'm sure you can find this, where William Shatner is in a recording session, and he reads the copy one time, and then the young man, I guess, who was producing it, said, can you try it a second time? And he goes, why? Why would I need to? And he just rips this guy apart.
Oh, he does.
It's
dead serious, yes.
Oh, gosh. So it's actually kind of like a real thing.
And then he goes to read it and he goes, you know, like just like that. Oh my gosh.
Well, and the kid who's in the session is obviously producing the session.
Yes.
And he's an idiot because he's telling William Shatner how to read and interpret stuff. And Shatner just, without yelling, or just levels this kid.
Can you imagine that? That'd be like going, hey Daniel Day-Lewis, I think you need to do that, do another take. Yeah. Like, what did you say to me?
It's incredible to listen to, though.
You want to hear a great quick true story that Bill's story about Shatner reminds me of? I've told it once, I think, ever, maybe. and it has to do with Jack Buck, the late Jack Buck.
I was a
20-something-year-old writer, copywriter. That's what you call people that write commercials. And I'd written a commercial for Community Federal Savings and Loan, which a lot of older people still say that when they mean to say First Community Credit Union. But it was a Community Federal Savings and Loan. And there was an offer where if you opened an account or added to an existing account, you get baseball tickets. So they said, we've made arrangements. Jack Buck has agreed to do the radio commercial. I had written it, and they said, you know, go down to the radio station where he worked and he'll record it there. Now, I had never met him. I'm 20-something years old. He's Jack Buck, and I walk into that building, and the woman is expecting me. She takes me down the hall, and there is Jack Buck, and we meet, and he goes into the room and closes the door, and there's a glass, and I have a little talkback thing. And I had told him, I said, Mr. Buck, your part of this is 47 seconds. And it was, hi, this is Jack Buck, and I'm enough gave I don't save me alone. And 47, it's over, and the jingle comes in. He says, okay. He looked it over. He says, all right, let's roll. I'm ready. And he had a stopwatch, and I had a stopwatch. Hi, this is Jack Buck for Community Federal Savings Loan. You know, if you go to the baseball game, you can and that's any Community Federal Savings Loan. 47 seconds, no run through, absolutely wow. On the money. And he said, well, how's that? And I said, that was good. That was really good. I said, let's just do one more. Now, let me stop right here and tell you that in the business, it's almost never the case that you don't do just one more. And sometimes you don't know why. You just think, well, maybe we'll get a little better version of it. How could it be better? It's him being him, and he's right on time. And I said, just do one more. And he said, why? And I said, I didn't have an answer. I said, well, we just usually like to have a second take or another take. Why? And then I realized I don't have an answer. And I just said, well, in this case, maybe not. Thank you. And I left. And I'll never forget. I still remember to this day the time, because I wrote the thing. It was exactly 47. And I'm telling you, man, and I can do it now, but it's, you know, many, many years later. I can look at a piece of copy and tell this is going to run too long or where to speed up. You can see when you're kind of getting to the end, you look at the clock. Buddy, that's the first time I'd ever seen somebody who had done it so much that they could just pace through it.
Just knock it out.
Right on time at the end.
I mean, it's tough. I mean, when I hosted a radio show, I had to record a commercial, and it's hard. Even just to record a commercial for a sponsor, you know what you're talking about. Okay, hey, go to this diner. And
well,
blah,
it's
blah,
hard
blah,
if
blah.
They put too much verbiage in it, and they tend to want to put the address in there twice, the phone number eight times, and the website, and they cram too much stuff.
And you're trying
in,
to get a good flow, because then you'll stop yourself and go, "Yeah, we got to start over again."
But
and
with the Shatner thing that Bill's talking about, what that knucklehead did, that would have been the same as if I had said, Mr. Buck, maybe if you didn't quite, if you didn't. Can you just get your voice a little? I mean, that would have been exactly the same thing. Telling him how to be him. It'd be stupid.
And speaking of William Shatner, someone just called in and said, and I've heard this before, have you guys heard on YouTube him doing the his interpretation of Rocket Man by Elton John?
Yes.
That's
great.
Yeah,
I mean,
tremendous.
It's basically like, you know, you paid him to watch that.
Yeah.
Buffy, you need to work on Shatner because I think... So all you really have to do is kind of whisper and pause. Mm-hmm.
Just look. This
and by the way, that name, you know,
bit, yeah.
You know that Shat is the past tense of SHAT. Mm-hmm.
Of course,
It is. Hey, well, he went and Shat all over the lawn, and Shatner would be past tense of that ner is his name. Don't say that to him. You know,
of course not. No. By the way, do another take, and can I say your name is the past tense?
You know your name. The first half of
you know,
it is the past tense.
You know, I just realized this, William, but I think your name means something to do with a toilet.
Yeah.
That's it. You're fired.
We have Ed on the line.
Ed, I would love to talk to Ed. Ed, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you, guys. How are you?
Great. Good. What's up?
I just wanted to make a comment on a really old appearance on Liam Neeson. Remember the movie Excalibur?
Yes.
Yeah, he was in that, and then since we're kind of talking about Star Trek, so is Patrick Stewart.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Patrick Stewart. I want to say Excalibur may have been one of Liam Neeson's first roles. I think they were talking about that the other night on one of his interviews. That was one of his first roles. I mean, he was so young. But now, of course, you know, he's done like, you know, 80, yeah. 90 movies. He's just kind of a legend.
Yeah, yeah, that was just kind of neat seeing all the some of these classic actors. And then check out American Gods on Stars. Really neat program.
Yeah.
Not kid appropriate.
What's American Gods about?
It's based on a novel by Neil Gaiman. He's written Coraline, The Sandman, and it's a little turbid and impatient about the new gods, like cell phones and the media and stuff like that. But pretty neat cast, and
good cast indeed, yeah.
Come out in March, yeah. But really neat, okay. And kind of messes with the head a bit.
Yeah, I've been watching that as well.
Isn't that Ian McShane in that?
Yeah.
The guy from Deadwood.
Deadwood, yeah.
He's great. Everything he's in, he's good.
Yeah, he's a fantastic actor. But you guys have a good afternoon.
And, all right, thank you.
Ed. And speaking of Ian, John Wick 3 trailer comes out on Thursday. Ooh. Miami. I've been waiting for this. It cannot come soon enough.
All right, I think just enough time to get Jim in here if he's still with us. Jim, welcome to 590 The Fan. What's going on?
Hey, Frank. I love this part of the show, dude. Great.
Well, thank you. We do, too.
Hey, the guy that was talking about Boston Legal and James Spader,
right.
If he goes back and checks out the show called The Practice,
yeah,
it shows the beginning of James Spader's character in Boston Legal, how it evolved.
Now, Jim, can I ask you a question? Does that have Dylan McDermott in The Practice?
Originally, I think in the first season, yeah, but okay, then he ran out of it.
I knew that he was in that. He's one of the most recognizable guys, but I always get him mixed up with Dylan Baker, I think. But he's a good actor, McDermott.
Yeah, I loved his role in American Horror Story, too.
Yeah, he was good in that one.
Yeah, that American Horror Story, that's interesting.
Freaky, man.
It's so boring.
Keep the lights on, okay?
Sometimes it's boring. Some seasons are boring,
so
and some are not boring.
It's just the same stuff.
I think it's
different.
Well, hold on, it's not the same.
It really is. It's the same TV. It's the same series in different ones. One is in a circus. Another one's in a hotel.
Let me thank Jim for calling. Jim, thank you for the call.
Well, I got one more quick recommendation.
Okay, go.
The Wire.
Oh, of course.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've had other people say that.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
It took me years to actually watch it. I've had the DVD for a long time. I kept trying, but so slow at first. But after you get into it, it's amazing.
Okay.
Great.
We appreciate
great
it.
Show.
Thank you, Jim.
See ya.
With Idris Elba playing Stringer Bell. What a great character. Yeah, that's a good cop show.
We gotta wrap this up.
Frank, did you watch the Billions trailer? It looks great.
No, I'm not gonna watch. I don't think I'm gonna watch Billions anymore.
No, Frank,
it's over my head. It's just
Frank,
over my head. I don't understand what. No,
Frank,
I don't understand what they're talking.
You're gonna
about.
Watch the season. I'm gonna come over there and take your chair away from you.
I like the psychiatrist. I can't follow it. I'm not smart enough to follow it. It's about high finance.
I'll translate it for you.
I don't like it. I'm done
that's
with it.
All.
I like her, but that's it. Dan Buffa, we need to let people know that you're brought to them by every Tuesday by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States, and that if they want to know more about this fantastic value, they can go to windowworldst.louis.com. You do this again next week?
Yes, the review of glass. But for now, I'm Dan Buffa. I've had enough of.
We've had enough of this. Thank you, Dan Buffa. Courtesy of Window World, a couple of things that we started talking about a week ago that are on the table. Offered to you by First Community Credit Union. One is a 19-month certificate of deposit, 3.04% APY. That's a really good rate. Money's not tied up forever, 19 months. Limited time, like so many things, and that's not just a sales pitch or something to make you jump. It's true. It's a limited time offer, just as was the one that I told you about moving your car loan. That's off the table now. But they do have this 19-month CD, and they also have wedding loans. Now, I don't know how much wedding loan business there is. I would imagine more than most other banking facilities realize, or they'd be all over it too. There are a lot of people get married every year, and most people who pay for the wedding don't have the money for the wedding. In this country, we've kind of gone crazy with weddings and what they cost, but if that's what she wants, that's what my little girl wants, and that's what mom wants, and that's what people do. And in many cases, they do something not very smart, and they take credit cards, and they max them out to pay for all aspects of the wedding. You don't have to do that. Not with First Community Credit Union around. They have wedding loans with rates as low as 4.99%. Check it out. Check out everything about First Community and find out why this is such a great place to bank. Over 40 locations. The largest credit union in the St. Louis area. First Community Credit Union, firstcommunity.com. The Playhouse is coming up after the news with Tim. Oh, see, I forgot again. He's not here. We'll have a weather update with Frankie McDonald. We'll have the news. And with the Playhouse, we'll have the jokes. So stay where you are. It's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
Hello again, everybody. It's Bob Ramsey, and you're listening to KFNS, Wood River, St. Louis, and KFNS.com, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Angela Anderson. President Donald Trump's nominee for Attorney General says he would not fire Special Counsel Robert Mueller without good cause.
I will not permit partisan politics, personal interests, or any other improper consideration to interfere with this or any other investigation.
William Barr made the comment during his Senate confirmation hearing today. The 68-year-old Barr